the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Everyone, welcome to Thumbstick Ninjas, the show where we talk about games, anything game-related, movies, television, trailers, of everything, you name it. My name is Rob Domingo, and it's here as always is
Matthew Smith
and Steve Landau, and with special guests
Ryan Brogan
and Veronica So.
Hey guys, welcome back, Brogan.
Yeah, I was here.
You were here
for board games,
and welcome, Veronica.
Total noob here.
The aficionado of anything anime. She was just on manga.com yesterday talking about yaoi.
That's my specialty.
We have a lot to talk about, as usual. A lot of entertainment news, but let's start with some gaming news.
Well, Steve, let's start with news.
I have something pretty exciting because I'm a big fan of the Total War series, especially Shogun 2. But Sega and Creative Assembly have officially announced Total War Warhammer for PC, Mac, and Steam OS. The release date is to be announced, but it will be in 2015. And it will apparently change the rules of the series as it takes place in a setting of high fantasy for the first time, with monsters, flying creatures, heroes, and storms of magic all appearing on the battlefield. The real-time battles and turn-based sandbox campaigns in the series will be returning. Races mentioned include the Men of the Empire, Orcs, Goblins, Dwarves, and Vampire Counts. I'm very excited for that.
That's cool.
I'm a fan of the Warhammer series. I haven't actually played any of it, but all of my friends have played it, and I've sort of picked it up by proxy. But
I like the little figurines you can make.
Yeah, that's what it's all been about, you know, the tabletop.
I don't know anything about the game, though.
Yeah, if you want to know more about the game, I would ask Kraus. He's got, I think he's the Imperium or something. I forget how that all breaks
down. Yeah, something like that. If we ever have a Warhammer episode, we'll have to invite him on for sure.
That's cool news.
Yeah.
Okay, so the rest of this is going to come from the mind of Smith unfortunately, work, as you all know, is work. So
sometimes we can't take notes.
Yes. So what do I know off the top of my head? Well, first of all, for Game of Thrones fans and Witcher 3 fans, Charles Dance, I believe is his name, Tywin Lannister's actor, he plays one of the lead characters in The Witcher 3, The Wild Hunt. He's like the king of the realm or something like that. So
you gotta kill him.
No, you're not trying to kill him. In fact, he's the one who's sending you all around on the mission.
It's a trick. So he's important.
So he's Tywin Lannister.
Basically.
He needs an arrow in his heart.
I think he'll always play Tywin in every role moving forward.
So this is his first video game role, so props to them and him for getting involved with the project. I know that Witch and the Hundred Knight was recently announced to be released for PS4. It was previously released on the PlayStation 3, so now they're bringing it to the PlayStation 4 with updated graphics, and now you can actually play as the main Witch character in addition to all the other content that was previously in the game. ODST is going to be arriving soon-ish for the Halo Master Chief Collection, and if you know, websites and forums are to be believed, pretty much all the issues have been resolved.
It's DLC?
It's DLC, yes. However, if you were one of the people who pre-ordered the game, I think that's how that works, you get it for free.
I'd only get it for Nathan Fillion, that's it.
Well, and it opens up that door, as we said before, maybe they'll do Halo Reach, and then you'll finally get all five Halo games, or no, there were six. You have the four Master Chief Halos, which are in the Master Chief Collection. They're adding ODST, and then they may bring Reach in the future. That's not confirmed, but I mean, you open the door with ODST.
Reach was great.
But that should be coming in soon, which is great news for Xbox fans. Shout out to all of our Xbox fans out there.
Yes, we've been a little bit on the Sony side as of late, so we're going to try to bring it back to Microsoft. And
we hear the voices, and we're heeding to your call, Xbox fans.
Yes.
Just hope the hardware works.
What's wrong with the Xbox hardware?
Well, that's for another episode.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with the Xbox hardware, Rob.
There is not.
Xbox
Let's fight
is great.
About it now.
Everybody here owns a PlayStation.
You're the only one with an
Xbox. I'm the only one that has everything. But...
So that's why we're so Sony heavy. But, you know, we have to mention all the other consoles.
Yeah.
Right. So there was the firmware update that was released yesterday for PS4. If you haven't turned on your PS4 in the past couple days, do so. It's just fixing stability, so that stupid Discover notification that comes up every freaking time I turn on my PS4 is now gone.
That's good.
Good, because I hate stuff like that. I'm nitpicky, but I already knew that I could switch my power options.
Man, that thing took me like an hour and a half to update. I don't know what happened. Yeah. I had a pretty good connection, too. Anyway.
Let's see. I mean, there was just tons of JRPG news. Oh! Star Ocean 5. I forget the subtitle. Forgive me. But Star Ocean 5 was announced to be coming for the PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 3, I believe. And it'll follow around cast of characters. It will seamlessly integrate combat and exploration with the distance you are from an enemy affecting which type of attack you do.
Oh, that's cool. Is it coming for the Xbox?
Or I don't
the Xbox
believe 60 so.
Or the Xbox One?
I do not believe
you don't have
so.
To mention Xbox for every question. But is it
I thought it was relevant.
is it a turn-based game? Probably not.
Well, it's
is the 90s here, and do we have turn-based back?
It's not turn-based.
Okay, thanks.
As far as I have been led to believe. Because there's the seamless integration between the exploration and the combat and all that. But that looks really cool. There's actually been a lot of JRPG announcements lately. Without the notes, I can't really mention them all, but definitely I'm going to give a shout out to DualShockers again, Kotaku, N4G, and Reddit. This is where I get most of my gaming news, so I would always direct you there. However, DualShockers, your new format is terrible. Shit-tastically terrible. Change it back. I know it's because you're trying to make it more friendly for mobile users. It's terrible. Change it back. Thank
you. No. I wonder if it looks good when being viewed on the Xbox.
Rumor has it that the Master Chief DualShockers collection will be wonderful.
Okay.
And great.
Gotcha.
Because Halo.
Because Halo and 343.
All right. Should we get into our entertainment news?
Yeah. Okay. And again, apologize for not having my notes together this week, but...
We'll have more time to talk about our
exactly.
Topic.
Now, I also just want to put a note out here. Why have we not mentioned Battlefront?
Why have we?
Because we're not mentioning it this week, because we have a very important topic to get to, and if we open that can of worms today,
we'll never
get to the topic.
We'll need another week to process everything.
Yeah.
There's still information trickling out from Celebration.
Yeah, if I
need to
read another news article on Battlefront, my head will explode.
Every day from, like, Thursday to this past Sunday was like, awesome. Oh my god. Head exploding, brains on the floor.
Yeah.
So
screenshot. Screenshot. Oh, I made a GIF.
Pretty much.
So I promise you we will cover it next week in full, in detail. So just hang on for that teaser.
And a segue into our entertainment news, a million trailers were released, and none least we'll say Star Wars was released from Celebration, though again, with the Battlefront agreement, we won't talk about it, but we'll just agree that it happened and it was great.
It did
and
indeed.
You should watch all of the trailers.
Yes.
They're very interesting.
That is your homework for next week. And also track
down... We're giving you homework.
Yes. Also track down this leaked Rogue One trailer.
Oh.
It's online. View it. Disney's trying to take it down as quickly as they can. So view it as soon as you can.
I almost wish I hadn't watched it because I'm sort of a stickler for quality viewing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of, someone snuck a camera or turned their camera phone on in the theater.
Thank you.
I mean, nice to be able to see, but I want to see the official release, so I'm looking forward to it.
You should have been there, Steve.
It might force their hands. I mean, how they didn't know that was going to leak, you know. Anyway,
Star Wars
same thing happened with Batman versus Superman. There was a leak for that, and then, what was it, like a few hours later, they posted the real one.
You know, it's funny, I only saw that trailer, like, earlier today. I hadn't seen it before that. Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't today, it was a few days ago. Sorry about that. But I don't know if we have time to share reactions.
Well, let's do kind of
one word reaction.
Our quick responses. Because there were so many trailers that came out this week, let's list them, and then we'll give kind of our synopsis.
You know what? I like Brogan's idea of one word. I think we should try to sum them up, each of us in one word. We'll go around the circle. Yep, one single word.
Okay, I'll go last.
Let's start with Batman Superman. Brogan.
Dumb.
Smith.
Good.
SMH.
Oh, okay. That's an acronym. I'll go with disappoint.
Snyder.
That's probably the winner. Yeah. It's definitely Zack Snyder all over that.
Yeah. That is his movie. It's pretty clear to see. How about Fantastic Four, Rob?
One word.
Mm-hmm.
Doom.
Doom, of course.
I don't care. I can't do one word. Words.
I don't care. It works.
Acting.
I didn't see Patrick Stewart in that. Acting. Anyway. Acting.
That was acting, children.
I have to do a phrase.
You can. Okay, let's go with a phrase.
Not Alba.
Okay.
I'll go with improvement.
All right.
Because, you know, the first one, this one looks a little better.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It did look like Mass Effect a little bit, but...
I'm not complaining.
CGI thing, I'm over CGI now that JJ's doing the puppets. I mean, I do appreciate Michael Chiklis' thing. That doesn't sound right, but to see CGI thing...
All right.
That's whatever.
Well, let's keep this going. Let's go with Jurassic Park.
World.
World.
World, yes. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Of course.
Was that your words? But
Jurassic
World.
Okay, no, Jurassic World.
I can't. This was a terrible idea.
It was your idea. Let's try to make it work.
Hilarious.
Okay.
Tongue in cheek with hyphens.
Okay, there you go.
It counts.
Phrase. Can I do a phrase?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Terrible Bob.
Terrible Bob?
Okay. You know, the haircut? It's just in your face. It's like the only, like, helmety thing in the whole trailer. It's like a helmet. Yeah, it's like...
Steve.
I need a word for this. I'm just going to go with yes.
That's a good word.
Margaritaville. Because in the first trailer...
Hey, one word.
Margaritaville.
All right. I don't think it needs explanation.
Okay. It's in there.
Oh.
Margaritaville. It was...
Yeah, what's his name's...
It's in the main area of Jurassic World.
I went to Universal Studios in Orlando last week... Last year. And I wish it was last week. And Margaritaville is right near the Jurassic Park ride.
Oh, that's why they had it in there.
I don't really understand the association. Is it just tropical?
I don't know. Maybe they're just trying to... be kind of like synonymous with the park, the Universal Park.
Because partnerships.
That's all I focused on when the pterodactyls were attacking. It was like, that's a Margaritaville.
I bought some Margaritaville like sunblock. That's why I remember it. It was the cheapest sunblock in all of Universal Studios.
Okay. Mad Max.
Oh yeah, we didn't mention Mad Max, did we?
Mad Max came out with a trailer last week.
Yes. All right, reactions.
And the word.
One word.
Will be... explosions.
Exhilarating.
Leather.
Party.
Dust.
All right.
That's pretty much it. Now you know what Mad Max is.
We're getting better as it goes on. Yeah. So now we'll end on Tomorrowland.
Oh, yes.
Clooney.
Damn it.
Can we all say Clooney?
I'm going to say Clooney too.
Can we all say Clooney?
Android.
Lasers.
I'm going to say Clooney. I'm going with Clooney. I think it's okay to have three Cloonies on this.
You can do this. If it were one word. Space Mountain.
Space Mountain. All right, there you go.
We forgot Biodome.
Biodome.
Oh.
All right.
Retraction on Jurassic World.
Biodome's one word?
No. Well...
Definitely. It doesn't matter.
In the movie, it's one word. The movie's one word.
Anything is one word if you don't put a space in.
Or you put hyphens in
it. True. So that was all of the massive trailers.
That's our great analysis. That's our reactions.
So go online and watch them, because there were many of them, and you're going to want to throw some of your money at your screen and throw some of your screen at your walls.
You can play this game, too.
But what do you throw your walls at?
Evangelion. Whoa, look at that transition.
We're all about transition. This is our topic tonight. We didn't bring it up earlier, but we're devoting this entire episode to Evangelion.
Neon Genesis Evangelion, yes. A series that came out probably 95 in Japan, and then here we got it when I was in high school, probably like 98. So it was already dubbed, and this is probably one of the most, I don't want to say amazing,
iconic.
I don't want to say infamous. Perhaps. Either. Something that just leaves a mark in your heart for the rest of your life.
Scarification.
The most scarification that any anime or entertainment series could ever do to you. I watched
itself.
Huh?
Anyway, no, sorry. Don't mind me. Go on.
Basically, you watch like the original 26 episodes.
Oh, you're an expert.
Broken
just turn to
down.
Me when
I
you
brought
need
my,
to
I brought my
check.
Own expert, too. 26 episodes. The last two didn't have enough money, so they made OVAs later on. The end of Evangelion came out in 97. And then you fast forward 10 years later, and you have Rebuild of Evangelion. We're going to go through all of them today. So, thank you, Hideki Anno. Thank you for mind-fucking our brains. Because now we have 5 intelligent people, so, well, 4 than me, I don't know, to try and dissect what the hell we just saw in Evangelion, you know.
Well, I saw a lot of pretty pictures and moving things.
It's okay.
It was cool.
To label it, you would say big robots versus aliens.
Yeah.
But it was even, it's so much more than that. It's character development. It's relationships. It's it's how to defeat these angels. It's like, why are they attacking you? There's no explanation. You're hurled at this, and you're with Shinji. You're with Rei and Asuka. And Toji for a little bit.
He had a good arc.
Yeah, he did. I'd say the first half of Evangelion was great. Everything was awesome. They killed angels in their own specific way, and the last half just got deep. And I think that's where I want to hear everybody's like...
Wait, is that the part where they're playing the piano on the...
No, moon? That's something else. That's a rebuild.
Are we not talking about the rebuild?
We're talking about the original series.
Oh, okay. Let's go into that.
We'll get to rebuilds.
Okay.
But, yeah. Where do we begin?
I want to go around the table and see how everybody felt from watching Evangelion, the original series. Just a series, not End of Evangelion.
Okay. Start. I guess I'll start.
Let's hear it. I'm just going to repeat everything you say verbatim.
It was played on Adult Swim on Cartoon Network for a bit.
Was it?
Yeah. It was late night. I didn't watch all of it there. I saw a few episodes like scattered around, and I was just like, this is interesting. I know the name.
Wow.
And you know, the song gets stuck in your head, the opening credits, and like I heard the song 5 years later, and I was just like, is this Evangelion? It's like, I've only seen 2 episodes, but I know this song.
Yeah.
So then I was just like, alright, I guess I'll watch the whole thing now. And I read a bit about it just accidentally from being an anime fan. You see that on the internet. There's constant discussion 20 years later. Still going.
We're still trying to figure this out.
Still arguing who's better, Rei or Asuka.
Right.
But, none.
Why not Asuka? She's cool.
I think when you're 13, she's, like, terrifying. And
Rei
is just, like...
Oh, she's neutral, girl next door.
Yeah, there's actually a big split between the West and the East. Like, Japan, Rei is the favorite, and in the West, it's either Asuka or Misato.
Misato
is the older lady. Close second. Mm-hmm. She's a babe.
First.
Oh.
first.
I think you like the mature. She was a old 24 in the
anime. Like a MILF.
So, yeah, I kind of came into the series knowing almost everything about it because I'd read so much about it.
And then you watched.
But it was still great. It's like one of those things where you're like, oh, I've been spoiled on this. Maybe it's not going to be that great. But watching the whole thing straight through, it really was exactly what I'd been seeing discussed. It was like it kind of melts your brain in the later half, and you're like, what is it? I've never seen any show do the things this does, and especially with the lack of budget they had towards the end.
The black and white.
Yeah. The last two episodes, for those who don't know,
I don't know,
kind of devolve into just like pencil sketches. It's like all done in like colored pencil and very like rough,
up to your interpretation of what the engine was.
It kind of looks like a
He wasn't able. The whole team, the studio, did not have the funding. To continue producing the series like normally. So the last two episodes are very rough and. But it kind of forced the director to take it in a different direction. Instead of doing this big, grand, epic finale that he had in mind, he had to just get straight to the point. And it's just stripped down to basically Shinji trapped in his mind. And just, I can't think of the word.
When's the last time you watched it?
The series?
Yeah.
I've only watched it straight through once, so it was probably 3 years ago.
I think I probably watched it more than once, but I think the last time was about 10 years ago.
Ooh.
And probably more than that. And I always made it a point to not watch the last two episodes.
Yeah, you can do that. You can just skip the last two episodes and go straight to the movie, which fixed all those problems. Since it was such a smash hit TV show, they had the funding from producers to make a theatrical release, kind of finishing it off the way that it was intended to be. Right. And that's the end of Evangelion.
Right before that, they made Death and Rebirth, OVAs.
Yeah,
I saw those.
Kind of tying in like the 25th episode and 26th. And they made that into... again, another mindfuck of the four Ava children playing an orchestral Bach Bisti by Mir. I forget what the song was.
So classic.
And everybody had their own point of view. And you see Kaoru, and it's like, who's this guy Kaoru? And he's totally like into Shinji. And I think our yaoi expert can give us more insight on that. But Matt, what's your take on it? I always like your takes.
Well, believe it or not, Evangelion was my first exposure to anime.
I had never seen the wrong one.
My friend Danny Jackson, back when I was a freshman in college, he introduced me to anime through Evangelion. And he basically was like, this is going to be a mindfuck for you, but if you watch this and you like this, then anime is going to be the thing for you. And I was like, okay, this sounds good. And we watched it probably over the course of like a month. As we got deeper into the series, I kept asking for more and more episodes, and then finally watched the whole thing and was like, what has happened to me? And very much enjoyed the whole experience. It was crazy and out there and nothing like I had ever seen before, having not been introduced to anime before this. So the style was incredibly different. The story was really rich. I still have no idea what happened, but I was okay
with
that.
That's why we're here. We're here for you, Matt.
And then I went off of that and watched Cowboy Bebop after that.
That's what you should have started out with.
That's what everyone should start out with.
Did it backwards.
I think Ava should be the last thing you should watch ever. So you don't have that much time to think about.
But I liked it so much that I went out and got the Platinum edition copy of the whole TV series and watched it through again after I had seen it the first time through. And then the sad portion of this story...
Does that come with the end of Eva?
No, it did not.
Okay.
So that was separate. But the sad part of this story is I lent this. Well, I got it somewhere in Chinatown for like $60 or $80.
Oh, okay.
I lent it to a friend. And
You know where this is going. What's his name?
Friend. And
we'll just call him... Damn it, I was going to say, we'll just call him Matt.
Yeah. No, it's Steve Z, and
it's you?
No, Steve Z.
Steve Z.
Other
friend.
Okay.
His dad was cleaning up his room and was throwing a bunch of stuff out, thought the DVDs were his, and they're gone. So I no longer own Evangelion, the
price
TV
check
series.
On Amazon, it's $250.
Yes, so that's where that stands.
Well,
so
now you can just wait for the Blu-rays because the Japanese Blu-rays are coming out in August.
Oh, perfect.
Okay,
there'll definitely be an American release for that.
Okay, well then, there you go. Not a tragic loss. But no, so that was my introduction to the series. I really, really enjoyed it. It was absolutely a mindfuck, but, you know, as my first entry into anime, it was a memorable one, mm-hmm. and I have enjoyed it, and I recommend it to people. So.
Veronica.
Hello. I mean, Evangelion wasn't my first anime. I was watching a bunch of shoujo manga. Shoujo anime. I was watching Sailor Moon and stuff.
Oh, okay.
So
oh,
I'm coming
Sailor
from this
Moon.
Like girly place. Then was watching Ranma, so I was like kind of used to like two
Ranma.
Girl characters and one guy character, and then the guy character being kind of confused. But I guess I was kind of psychologically prepared for how crazy it was.
Really?
I didn't know about it, but I just kind of was prepared for like the. How dark it was, because I was reading Ender's Game at the same time.
Oh, okay.
So I kind of felt like Evangelion was like, oh yeah, I get like kids and big machines like fighting aliens that
it's
have
like
no
children
real purpose.
Going to war.
Yeah, the children going to war thing was like total. I was totally into it. It was like so. I was immediately addicted to it.
I think when it came out, we were all somewhat their age, or maybe a little older because I was in high school. So I was probably like 15. 16. So
I'd say that was probably the age we were all at when we were exposed to it, at least.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. So it's kind of funny how we can sort of relate to all the shit those kids went through. You know, everybody put the pressures on their backs, and like, how are you supposed to pilot an Evangelion? What is an Evangelion? You have to breathe in this LCL liquid. Like, how could you even do that? And then from there, just pretend that Eva is you. Yeah, well, and by the way, humanity is about
is
to die
depending on you.
If you don't do this right.
I mean, it was great.
No
it's
pressure.
Great. Especially with all, like, I mean, it was the first time I'd ever seen anybody naked in an anime.
Who's yeah. naked in there?
Ray was naked. I love that. I mean, I was a girl, but I was
but
totally into it.
Didn't have any nipples.
No nipples.
Right?
No nipples. But no nipples is better than nipples. That's
true.
Always what
it's
I
just like,
really think about.
Hold on. Are we talking in general or?
No, I mean, the censor, like Japanese censorship is like
yeah,
so sexy
right.
and interesting. And I don't know. I guess I was kind of young, so.
Hmm. How did you feel about Kaoru Nagisa?
you just asked me here to ask me about this.
Yeah,
right?
This is the real meat of the series here.
like so
episode
much,
24.
So much fan service came for the guys, but at the end we were like, what?
I just think Shinji just never performed well, like within the chemistry of like his relationships with Rei and Asuka. It was always like, is he gay? Like, is he messed up? Is he traumatized? Let's throw a guy in there and see what happens. Like. When I don't know, it was like 2 years ago we were at Comic-Con together and they showed
they showed
3.0.
Oh man.
The girls were screaming the half the time and I was just like, yes, just do it. I think Shinji's just like a blank slate. You could throw anything at him and see what chemistry happens.
He'll take it.
Yeah, he'll take it. Because he's a
bitch.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Agree.
Yeah.
I mean,
my take on Kaoru as a character was he's the only one who gave any positive reinforcement to Shinji. Like, he just comes out of nowhere and he's like, sup, I like you. And Shinji's just like, you let me hold your dick. Just, well, it's just like, it's he just liked something. Him as a person. He's just like, you're a good kid, Shinji. And like, no one had ever said that. He was always seeking validation and approval from everyone else. And no one gave it to him. He was always just alone. And Kaoru came along and showed him like affection.
And like basically turned him gay? Affection. Is that what happened?
Almost.
Okay. Maybe he already was gay.
Well, I think that's how it works, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to spoil never what choice. Happens. Should we? Should
no, we're all about spoilers.
Let's do it.
We're all about spoilers.
Yeah, this is the spoiler episode.
Yeah, it's a pretty intense episode. So, Kaoru is such a famous character, and he's in one episode of the TV show. He shows up in the beginning, and then he's killed at the end.
But before that, he takes a sexual curiosity to Shinji. So much so that they kind of sleep together, or they like take a shower together.
I like to think they, did stuff.
Yeah, that's private
they
time.
They probably did.
It's private time. How about you, Steve? What was your take?
When
did you watch it?
Well,
when did you watch it?
Evangelion came out, it was on Adult Swim on the Cartoon Network.
When did this happen? Because I can't see Eva on Adult Swim, on TV.
I'm sorry, I was saying what Evangelion was saying.
Okay, okay. No, it did happen.
When?
I don't know.
When I watched it.
And really?
04, 05?
Yeah, well, no, it was before that. It was really late night on some channel.
Yeah, 04, really that's about 8 years since it came out to the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I can watch it before.
Well, I'm actually the odd man out here because I haven't seen the whole series all the way through. So, I've seen the rebuilds. I watched those very recently, so they're a more fresh memory for me.
Okay.
But the original series, I saw random episodes, and most of my experience with it is from online, just reading things, looking at things, and, you know, you come across these iconic characters, and you wonder who they are, and you read about them, but I never actually watched the whole series all the way through. So, I'm sorry.
Now we got to get the Platy edition for Matt.
Yeah.
So we can watch it all throughout the weekend.
That. I'm jealous.
You're jealous?
I wanna
because
watch it
you
want
to re-experience
again.
It? All right. I'm excited.
So then the series came to an end in 95. They got funding to make the OVAs. They got funding to make End of Evangelion, which kind of closed up everything. Everything came to an end, obviously.
As much as things do in the Evangelion story arc, yes.
I watched Evangelion at Otakon in Baltimore in 1999 on the big screen. I have not seen it. Everybody in that theater saw it. It's like, oh, you're going to love it. Oh, it's crazy. Oh, your mind's going to explode, which was a fucking spoiler. Because everybody's mind exploded at the end because they got so happy from whatever the fuck Third Impact was.
Yep.
But I have to say, the soundtrack for that movie was amazing.
Yep.
I can play that anytime and just kind of like rewind my life back to 1999 when I first saw it. It's crazy. And they really stepped it up with the whole Misato kiss for Shinji. The whole Misato takes on like the Sele guys by herself and she dies.
Mm.
A lot of people die.
I was very
Everyone
sad
dies,
that.
Pretty much.
I was very sad
if you
that.
Freeze frame it. When she dies.
No! Oh, we do see a ghost of Rei, which kind of also freaked me out.
What? Same,
yeah. Rei, you didn't, In the TV series, guys, Rei Ayanami appears to people either maybe right before they die or just to Shinji at random times.
Oh, Christ.
She was in the first episode when he was on the phone. He saw Rei for a second, then got distracted by a bird, and then,
yeah.
then she wasn't there.
Go back and freeze frame and stuff.
It's insane. Oh, like imagine watching it like in high school, and like you're questioning your life pretty much. Like how could they make this, and how could I watch this? It's just insane. From the attack of the dummy plugs against Asuka in Unit 2. Probably one of the best anime sequences I've ever seen. And that song in the background, perfect.
Yeah, I mean, that sequence, I think, just has to stand out on a pedestal by itself. Like, even if you haven't seen Evangelion, you've probably seen the sequence somewhere on YouTube and not even realized that this was Evangelion.
Right.
Because that, it's just, probably one of the most ridiculous moments that I've ever seen in a series. It builds throughout the whole series with Asuka, and you're kind of wondering why she is the way that she is. It comes to a head in her final moments, essentially, and it's just so intense.
So what are your takes on End of Eva? And when did you watch it?
I watched it right after I watched the whole show, so a few years ago.
That wasn't on Toonami, was it?
No.
Okay. I'm telling you, man. This is why we have to do this, because we have to make something out of it, or it will forever linger in your brain holes.
So. A lot of things happen.
What happens
called Instrumentality.
The Instrumentality
which
Project.
Which was the intent of the Sele, and also the intent of Gendo, but he wanted to do it for a different reason. But when it happens, it all, for some reason, hinges on Shinji accepting it or not, because Rei is in control. And the way she's in control is very difficult to say, because it's very surreal. She's like a giant freaking angel, like, hovering above the earth, and Unit 1 is flying, and you're just like, what's happening right now? And then Rei is Kaworu, and Kaworu is Rei, and so Shinji has to make the decision whether to let Instrumentality happen, which is all the children of Earth, like all human beings coalescing into one, like, mass of orange tang.
What? That was the mind. Great.
He understands it.
There you go.
He understands.
Did you see it?
I read
it. No.
I was like, oh.
But having all the kids become orange tang just makes sense.
Yeah, that's pretty much all we came from, and that's where we're going to go to.
So did he have that happen? Did Instrumentality...
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And then... I'll skip over the weird, like, live-action film portions and, like, the death threat letters.
Thank you. Thank you, Anno. Anno Hideki is
being weird. And then Shinji... rejects Instrumentality after,
but he already
after
accepted
causing
it.
Yeah, but apparently you can just pop back out of it.
You can just edit undo
if you will yourself to back into existence.
Oh. You can.
You can edit undo Instrumentality.
You can undo Orange Tang.
Yes.
Okay.
So he ends up on a beach by himself. Well, the world's full of beaches now because it's mostly flooded with Tang.
Okay.
and he finds Asuka. Also on the beach.
Also in the ocean is half of Rei's head.
Half of her head.
Yeah, a giant head. She fell apart. Yeah.
The
Instrumentality, surreal imagery, everything exploded and fell apart in different ways.
Alright.
There was a black moon, a white moon. then Shinji goes over to Asuka and gets on top of her and starts choking her.
Whoa, okay.
As you should.
She says,
"Not
kimochi warui,"
feels good.
Which can be interpreted in different ways. Which was mostly translated as "how disgusting."
Oh, the English version.
Or
said
I feel sick.
It's like you're pathetic.
You're pathetic. Yeah. Yeah, there's a bunch of different ones.
Okay.
So yeah.
Okay.
How do you feel?
Well,
okay, Matt, you're next.
Somebody else, take
his
this away
mind
from
is exploding. I'm trying to put the tang in his brain.
So
I had something.
When the end of Evangelion was described to me, it was that it would be the conclusion to Evangelion.
Is this Danny again who did this to you?
Yes, okay. And it was right after watching. You know, he had me watch the whole show. I was confused by it, and he was like, "Wait a week, think it over, and then we'll watch the end of Evangelion together." Which is, like, the official ending to the show. And I was like, okay, great. Now, this is my first anime, so I'm coming from kind of a Western perspective of things wrap up, things conclude, and then you have the Lord of the Rings denouement of this character is here and sired this character who is the grandson of this character, and it's laid out and it's great, and I go to the wikis, spend 5 hours reading about the great-great-great-grandson of Bilbo Baggins. So when I get to the end of Evangelion and find that this is not the case necessarily, that we have just taken a further mindfuck into Mindfuckville, I was intrigued and incredibly confused to the point where I was like, so is there another ending that's supposed to come after this? Is it not done yet?
We will have to wait and see.
Yeah, and I was basically like, what does it mean? And Danny was like, no one knows. And that was my introduction.
Thank you, Master.
Yeah, that was my introduction and conclusion of watching the Evangelion series there. And it's an incredibly unique experience. It's one of those things where, again, like, you kind of get out of Evangelion what you put into Evangelion. Where, like, initially I was just like, after watching the Evangelion, I was just like dead for the night and like I just couldn't process. And then I like started looking at things and trying to research a little bit more. The more you put into it, the more you get out of it.
When did you watch?
So I would have been 18 at the time, okay. Freshman in college. So we watched it over the first fall semester, so I, you know, got the whole thing done by the time Christmas had rolled around, had seen the whole series and the end of Evangelion. And I mean, I thought that Kingdom Hearts was confusing. And then I watched Evangelion, and I was like, I can tell you about Kingdom Hearts, no problem. I know exactly what it is and where it's going.
I feel like we owe it to ourselves to watch it again. Now we're kind of an adult, according to my license, but like, just to see how we feel about it.
I'll report back.
I'm going to watch it with Steve.
Yeah.
I'll watch with Steve.
That'll be my homework for the next month or two.
Just lock yourself in a trapped room.
I watched it with my brother, so he was spoiling it the whole time we were watching it together. Yeah. He knows that it's true. You get what you put into it, and he knew I was just going to put all the character analysis and like the romantic or sexual part of that kind of psychology into it and not pay attention to what was going on. But in the end, what I take away from it is, like, in a game of Marry, Screw, Kill yesterday, I realized I would definitely kill Shinji. Like,
I kill him three times?
Most girls would say, oh, I would totally screw Shinji.
No!
Or I would totally marry Shinji. But, you know, no, that's the reaction I got.
Wow.
It was like, what? Doesn't every American girl want to date Shinji because he's such a I screwed Krillin, and it was like, great, but you know, I realized that like what Shinji brings upon himself and from everyone else is that people want to torture him, people want to subject him to stuff because he's such an empty person.
He'll take it.
Empty shell. I don't know, it's like
he'll take it and then
he's some sort of Christ. He's some sort of like Christ persona, you know, where it's like, give me all your hate.
Wow, that's a very crazy analogy.
Symbols are all over.
Right. Sure. I could never think of Shinji being a Jesus Christ.
He's wearing a school uniform,
but
his like white shirt.
Yeah, the interesting thing about Shinji is once you realize that it's designed for you to hate him, that there's supposed to be nothing about him that is likable, that's when you don't transition to liking him, but you greatly respect the character for what he is. Because I remember just watching like the first 10 episodes and being like, shut the fuck up. What is wrong with this character? This is the dumbest person. And he just like, wah, I piloted an Ava. I get to do cool things. My father doesn't love me. And like, I wanted to be like, well, shut up and earn it or do something.
But for a girl, it's really confusing because most anime, when they do the story, there's one guy and you're supposed to like him and all the girls are supposed to like him. This was like the reverse, where it's like he would totally gladly screw anybody, but no one wants him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's it was really interesting.
Yeah, he is not a hero.
No,
it's,
he's just a kid. He's just a kid. He's not an anti-hero. No, no, no. He's just
Yeah, that's a real knot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the anti-hero be probably Gendo in that series.
Yeah. We can just go down the character list, talk about Gendo.
Well, I wanted to play the game that you played yesterday on manga.com. From this fun. List.
You have to give each person...
Three
choices.
I want to do yours.
Oh, God.
I'm going to do yours.
Okay.
So, marry, kill, screw.
Marry, screw. Mm.
Marry, screw, kill.
Yeah.
From this list of Shinji Ikari, Gendo Ikari, Rei Ayanami, Asuka Langley, Shikinami, depending if you're watching Rebuild, Soryu, Misato Katsuragi, Kaoru Nagisa, Toji Suzuhara, Ritsuko Akagi, Fuyutsuki, Kaji, Mary from Rebuild, or Pen-Pen.
Pen-Pen.
From this list, I ask you, marry, screw, kill, Toji, Kaji, and Gendo.
Oh, come on.
I know.
No,
I'm not
going to
give you Shinji again. No way.
No. Don't give me Shinji.
I'm not going to give you Shinji.
Give me a girl.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Give me girls. Like,
you want all girls?
Yeah, actually. I would.
Okay.
I would.
I
mean, the girls are so complex in this.
What's the name of the girl at the helm that had really no part? She was in love with the...
Oh, yeah. I need you.
The blonde one.
No, she was short haired.
Lesbian.
Oh.
She wanted to bang Ritsuko.
She wanted to, and she blew up in Tang.
Oh.
Can't remember her name.
So well, like, it's definitely screw
right. Since there's so many, so little female characters, I'll just do Rei, Asuka, Misato.
Three main chicks.
And in turn, you can give me one guy.
I'll give you one guy. Okay.
You can give me
one guy. Okay. That's actually, okay. I would screw Asuka, marry Misato, and kill Rei. Because Misato, she is like a woman.
She
shows up perfectly turned out.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
always oh, got wait. These outfits on. Like, if I took her to a party, like, it'd be great. Everyone would be jealous of me.
By the way, she went through a lot with Second Impact with her dad. You know,
oh, yeah.
She,
I mean,
she survived
she's
it. She was
emotionally
there.
Mature.
Yeah, she
can
locked
take
herself.
Care of
that's
in. Although,
arguable.
You know, well, yeah, actually, that's true. She's like a mess. Like,
she
I would have
mess,
to clean up
she
after
drinks
her.
Too much.
Yeah, I just think she's like a woman. You know, like,
oh, I hear it. She's yeah. a babe, total babe.
But just Asuka is just like okay. She'd be insane in this act, like for sure. She'd probably be crazy. You'd probably
I think
be
she'd
like,
probably hate you.
She'd kill you.
Well, she—that's the passionate part of her, right? So
that's
she'd be a lot
fun
of fun. Yeah,
you like, want them to fight. Gotcha.
Yeah, but I don't have to see her again.
I'm sorry, that was terrible.
What?
Don't mind me.
Yeah, there is definitely an element of violence that probably having screwing Asuka would be great.
Okay.
Now, Rei, I just think it'd be great to kill her. I mean, there would be so many different ways.
So
you could
many,
just probably
so
stress
many,
her
so
out
many
to
rays.
Death.
So many rays.
Maybe,
so
like,
many rays. You
quietly.
Can try different times.
Yeah, I could. Maybe, like,
she,
try and, like, kill her in, like, with positivity.
Would you kill baby like, Rei, like, kid Rei, or, like, adult Rei?
Adult Rei.
Okay.
I mean, she, you know.
Because Ritsuko's mom killed kid Rei.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to kill babies. I don't want to kill kids.
There's a line that's drawn on Thumbstick Ninjas.
No killing kids.
No.
We don't kill your kids.
I mean, don't you guys, wouldn't it be fun to kill Rei? Like, you see her almost like...
It'd be so much fun to kill Rei.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And we're
I
pulled
mean,
from iTunes.
It'd definitely be easier. To kill Rei than anyone else, probably.
She is also an empty shell. The last one mm. that came out. But I think the one that kind of grew up with Shinji from the series kind of developed a lot of
human
traits.
Qualities.
So that's the one I'm talking about. Not the kid Rei or the third Rei.
No, not the Hikikomori Rei.
Not the Rebuild Rei. I don't understand Rebuild Rei. Okay, so now you give three to me.
Okay.
Hmm.
All right, I'm going to...
Which three? Gendo?
No, Kaoru.
Kaoru? Okay.
Duh! Pen-Pen.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to know how you feel about Misato.
Mmm. Love Misato. I would definitely marry
if
Misato.
If you love her so much, why don't you marry
her? Yeah. I will marry.
So we're fighting now. We're fighting over Misato.
We are, because she's amazing. She's everything you want in a woman, and so much more. and she has her shit together. And
alcoholism isn't a problem for you either.
No, no, that's great. I drink too.
It's a plus.
You can drink together.
It's okay. She kisses little boys. That's fine. Because apparently I'm about to.
Nice.
Oh, God.
I will fuck Kaoru Nagisa. Just because he's very feminine.
That means
looking.
You're killing Pen Pen.
I'm killing Pen Pen. Because I think that would be either gay sex or bestiality. I'll probably just do the gay sex.
No, come on, tell me how you feel about Kaoru.
Kaoru, I think he's in the bed or just like in general.
In bed! We're talking about very
I think he'd be a bitch. I think I'd be the butch.
Be oh, okay.
But then yeah. he'd try to, and I don't think I'd let him.
I think in Shinji and Kaoru's relationship, Kaoru's definitely top.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think?
But I don't know. Just
Shinji.
Just,
come on.
Shinji's on the bottom of everyone.
He's going to be the
I don't think I could be a bottom.
This should Asuka's have been the top. Whole podcast.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay, no. You kill Pen Pen. How would you kill Pen Pen?
Oh, Christ.
Global warming?
Oh, no. No, he's
the way
he's
doing.
A warm weather.
Happy Earth Day, everyone.
He's a warm weather penguin, by the way.
Could kill him with a 14-year time skip.
Ouch.
Damn.
Turn him into Tang.
Like all the other kids in the world.
I'd kill him with a fourth impact.
That's too many
impacts. All that. Okay.
Oh, no.
Well, that was fun.
All right, so... I'm going to Steve.
Going to me.
Guys.
Well, here's the thing.
It's gotta be one.
You're going to have to remind me who these people are.
Okay.
I don't recognize
Do more
all
of the general
names.
Characters.
Okay.
Fyutsuki is the hot one.
Oh, he is Fyutsuki now.
You're next.
I don't know who Fyutsuki
I'm
is.
I'm going to explain it to you. Fyutsuki. Fyutsuki.
I'll marry.
Good choice. No. Yeah, actually.
Fyutsuki. I don't know what I'm saying. I just took a
He's
guess.
He's really smart.
Cool. Marry him.
Mary from the rebuild, because you know the rebuild. And
oh, God, remind me who Mary is, though.
She's the
glasses.
Glasses, and
oh,
she's kind of quirky.
Okay, who's the third?
Let's do Asuka.
Oh, man. That means I have to kill either Mary or Asuka. I'll kill Mary. And I'll screw Asuka. Mm-hmm.
You're going to marry Fyutsuki?
Yeah.
Okay, so Fyutsuki is Gendo's... I guess
right-hand man.
Oh,
yeah.
He's
totally.
He's a scholar and everything that's, I guess, physics and whatever.
I want him on my side.
Is.
The only
we
one
have
who helps the audience in the third rebuild.
Pretty
perfect.
Much.
I want to have him around.
He was in love with Yui Akari, which was Shinji's mom.
I want to be entitled to have his assets when he dies.
See, you were thinking finance. None of us did.
Well, hey, there you go.
Who's the most financially stable character I can marry?
Who are you killing?
Sato
well, I think
has
maybe
nothing
Gendo.
To offer.
Who are you killing?
Well, I have to kill Mary.
How would you kill her?
Passionately.
Whoa. Take away her glasses.
Am I allowed to do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she can't see without her glasses.
Yeah.
Oh.
That'd be great.
Perfect.
And how's Asuka in bed?
Well, I believe, like we discussed, she's pretty crazy.
BS,
and you like that?
I don't know.
Morgan,
we can't talk about this right now.
Okay.
Don't you think she's
my girlfriend
very BS
is in the back here?
Asuka?
I don't know if this is appropriate for me to talk about.
She should probably be like pretty hardcore.
Oh yeah, I think she put the eye patch on. All right, Steve, your turn to dish out.
My turn. Oh God, who am I dishing out to? Rogan.
Okay.
Oh, boy, and I'm going based on characters that I know, so I might need some help here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I definitely want to toss Gendo in there. Gendo
okay.
Ikari. Let's also give you Misato.
Cool.
And I think I know how you'd feel about Kaoru, so I will give you...
How do you...
Don't worry about it.
Come on.
Who?
Kaji.
Okay, you got it. Kaji.
All right, so that's Gendo, Misato, and Kaji.
Oh.
So I have to break up Misato and Kaji for, like, the fourth time. How are you going to do it?
With melons. Lots of melons.
Watermelons. Oh, boy. Well, all right, I'm going to do this in order. First, I'm going to screw Misato. And then I'm going to somehow use that to convince Kaji to marry me. Because together, we can kill Gendo.
Oh!
I don't think I can do it alone.
That was amazing.
Well thought out.
Mic drop.
Done.
Plot of the fourth reboot.
They have to write Brogan in as a character.
Wow. Power moves.
Brogan. So I have to Brogan I have to give names to Mr. Smith.
Yep.
You will get... you will get Rei, Toji, and Ritsuko.
Ooh.
Remind me on Toji.
Toji was the in the series, he piloted the third Evangelion Unit 3, which turned on them, because it was also infected by an angel. In Rebuild, he was in the first one, but he did not...
It's the one who punches Shinji at school.
Right. He was the bully, but then they become friends. He did not pilot Unit 3. Asuka did.
Okay.
And she got fucked up.
Okay.
Yeah, in the series, he got injured by being forced to pilot.
Here's a pick. Just help you along.
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
Okay. Take a good look.
Fuck him. Okay. So, here's how we're going to go about this. We're going to marry Rei.
Ooh.
Okay.
We're going to...
All of them.
All of the Reis.
Which one?
We'll do...
Not the kids. Okay, you can't marry the kid Rei.
No, no.
It's not allowed. We can't kill or
we'll do the Rei we first meet.
Okay.
First Rei.
Why? First Rei.
Why?
Why?
I just imagine that at cocktail parties, we're going to be that really strange, quiet couple. We're going to be dressed really well and look very prim and proper, but
I love it.
The conversation's going to come up, and then I'm going to ask her what she thinks about that, and she's just going to stare, and I'm going to just kind of swirl my cocktail glass and sip. Like, everything is okay, but it's really not. But it's going to look really good on the outside. But no one's going to comment on it. Even though you can tell that some sort of disconnect is there, we're just going to go for our whole lives and then eventually die old because we didn't want to say that it wasn't working.
Very Japanese to me, man.
That's awesome.
But what are things like at home?
I think you
like,
just
how would
described
you...
all of life.
Yeah, okay, like...
So you still got
at home we have separate bedrooms.
She's got her bookshelf. She's got your bookshelf.
Yeah. Look, she's no. We share the the same bathroom, even though we have the different bedrooms. And the bathroom is the only place that we meet, but it's we don't talk. And the interactions are me brushing my teeth while she is in the shower, and I think about it every day, ending it. But then I spritz out the toothbrush and I put it away and I clean everything up and then...
Well, you're failing to mention that the problem and the cause of tension in your relationship is she is the only one that knows you killed Toji.
This is very, man. Very true. But,
and she's
you know...
The first Rei is obsessed with someone else, right?
She was obsessed with Gendo.
Yeah,
she was very friendly
with
Gendo.
The first one was... Yeah.
And I know of this affair, but I don't let my pride bring it up.
That's
so we just leave it. And she also knows that I'm screwing Ritsuko. So this is just a very connected triangle of sadness.
How is she in bed? Ritsuko. Dr. Akagi.
Probably, never mind, go ahead.
Does she give you an enema?
Amanda,
does she drown you in LCL?
Yes. It's used in everything.
That's kind of kinky.
And, I mean, realistically, we're only doing it at work.
Wait. Central Dogma or Terminal Dogma?
All of the dogmas.
Work.
All of the dogmas.
Just on the escalator.
Yes.
On the way down.
Dogma style.
There's anger from her at not being in the proper relationship she wants to be in, and anger from me, and it comes out
Indeed.
Literally.
Indeed.
And so yours isn't a one-night thing. I mean,
no, it's an ongoing.
It's a lot of... Okay.
Everyone knows and no one comments. Except Toji saw...
Oh.
And that's the connection.
Wow. How would you kill Suzuhara?
I'd infect the Ava.
It was you!
It was me! With the LCL fluid, which I got from Ritsuko.
Gotcha.
Oh, man.
God damn.
I feel like I've just watched a whole movie.
Yeah.
I think I understand the series now.
You're welcome.
I get it.
Let's write
Do you
want to
discuss
Slash
in depth more?
How much time do we have?
Well, not a lot, but let's
get into it.
Imagine the rebuild movies, the first three. Imagine them in one, I guess, entire sitting. From the first changes you saw in the first movie to whatever the hell was happening in the third movie, how would you describe your experience when you first watched it?
Single word, or should we?
No, I'm not doing a single word.
No, don't do that.
Just a short comment.
No, if you do as long as you want.
Right,
because
from the opening shot, you know something's different. Because the opening shot of Rebuilds 1 is the water.
It's red.
It's like waves. Red,
red?
Red waves coming in. The ocean has turned red.
Mm-hmm.
This is supposed to be a retelling of the same story. The first movie kind of does like the first... six or seven episodes from the series, kind of just compressed into a movie. It does it really well, you know, upgraded to HD, fantastic animation work. It looks beautiful, and it's pretty much exactly what you'd expect, just a retelling of the same thing, except the water's red. So you're like, something's changed, something's different. And there's also a quick shot, just the establishing shot of an outline of where something like a probably an angel has fallen.
Mm.
It's like I see it as like a chalk outline, like someone like a murder scene, but it's like huge. It's like in the forest, and so you're like, what's that? There's like, what's going on? But they don't address it, and that's where you get this sequel theory that the rebuilds are actually.
Oh,
a sequel, and that the events are kind of just repeating again.
Hmm.
And then the second movie, there's a lot more changes. There's a new character who's introduced in the first scene, and you're like, this is weird, but it's kind of cool. Like, they're kind of going in a new direction, and it's not just a retelling of the original show. That's pretty interesting. Like, gives it some, you know, longevity. You're like, oh, what are they going to do next?
Yep.
And then the third one happened. And you're like, what won't they do next?
Orange
because it's completely out of the blue. You're 14 years skipped after the second movie, and nothing is the same as the TV show. It's completely, the TV show is gone now, and the rebuilds exist as their own thing.
Hmm. Nice.
Yeah, from my understanding, you know, when I had heard about the rebuilds was that it was largely just going to be an HD retelling of the original series. And then watching the first movie, noticing those changes, and specifically with Shinji's introduction to his Ava, there were just some slight things that were different in the film that you knew would probably have incredible ripple effects moving on, but the first movie is very loyal to the show in terms of the basic plot and how it's moving forward. Beautiful. Really well done. All the angels, you know, kind of redesigned for a new age, and it flowed really nicely. And it was actually, I felt, a really good reintroduction into the series. I hadn't seen it for several years.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to the second one, and it really starts becoming its own entity. I was becoming lost and confused again, and didn't know what was going to happen. And the ending especially was kind of one of those, what the fuck is going on? Like, challenging the core tenets of the show. You essentially thought that there was sacred ground in Evangelion that would not be crossed. And it gets shattered throughout the second movie, and literally obliterated at the end of the second movie to make way for the third movie, which is like someone trying to do the idea of the rebuild all over again in the third movie from the start again. Okay. The most amazing thing to me about the rebuilds is Shinji. And I say that because
I know
you're not supposed to like or care for Shinji. He's actually not supposed to make a lot of sense as per the show, as we thought the established rules were. But by the time you're watching the third movie and you're Shinji is the only character who makes sense anymore. And it actually destroyed my soul for a little while. Because I was like, "This no, I will not accept Shinji as a fully fledged character who actually stands up for himself and is asking the questions that actually need to be asked." And the show literally just forces it into your being. And it's like, accept that Shinji is the only one who seems to be making sense right now. And that's where, to me, it's just a complete departure, but almost a return to the soul of what the original show did to me. At first, after watching it, I was like, this is just, I can't handle this anymore. But then, thinking about it and looking into it, it's like, no, this is exactly what Evangelion is. It just takes what you think you know, and it challenges you. And I'm very, very intrigued to see where the fourth movie will go.
It should be coming out in winter 2015.
That's what they say.
It's a rumor.
Yeah. We'll see.
I don't want to really recap everything everyone said. I just want to bring it back to Anno and, like, what his psychological state is at this point. It's like, is he just a person who's bad at, like, wrapping a thing up? That could be a very possible thing where he just keeps dwelling on this, like, drama of the initial part and then just kind of falling apart. Like, this can't be right. They can't do this. Like, I feel less depressed now, so this is going to make more sense. And he's just rehashing these same elements that he's obsessed about. I just, like, constantly think, like, I don't know, like, do things get better when you're better? Like, do you make a less confusing movie when you feel more like yourself, or you're more confident?
That's very interesting.
So when I see something that makes sense, I'm like, oh, somebody cracked the whip and he's on his meds and he's going well. And then when you get like a crazy, like, falling apart of the plot or falling apart of the character, it's like something's wrong again. which is what's going to keep giving us more content.
What would,
like,
you want?
What?
Do you want him to be off his rocker, or do you want him to get better?
I think if he stays off his rocker, we'll get more out of him. But I think if he gets his shit together, or, like, he comes to some sort of epiphany about what actually will happen to all these characters, and how, if there is a happy ending, or if everything's destroyed, like, it's kind of scary to make that decision, whether to destroy it or to, like, make it good.
Yeah.
I think, like, making it good is probably the worst thing for a person like Anno. It's like, because I don't think he believes that there is
a happy ending. Were some comments from Anno talking about the fourth movie and, like, how he couldn't bring himself to even go to the studio for, like, 6 months.
Exactly.
Like, he just couldn't do it.
he's the I watched the Miyazaki documentary, like, recently, yeah. And one thing fantastic that's so true about him is, like, Anno cannot tell a lie. He's the person with the most integrity. Like, that Miyazaki was saying is just, like, that man could not.
Is that why he had him voice Goro?
Yeah, because he felt like we can't have an actor play this guy, because he is a man with integrity. There's nothing false about him.
So
he's not trying to please anyone. Right. And that's what makes him so cool.
Anno Hideki was the lead character in Kaze no Tachinu, which is the Wind Rises.
Wind Rises, yes. Yeah. Miyazaki's final film, probably.
I did not know that fact until I looked it up, because something was off with the voice actor. He did sound real.
Oh my god, yeah.
He was not trying to impress anybody. He was not trying to overact. And I was like, what's up with this guy? And I looked at it, like, oh my god, it's Anno. Get out of my life. I thought I left you behind.
There's a scene in that documentary where they're sitting around a table, and one of the producers on The Wind Rises goes, like, well, what about, they're just, Miyazaki's kind of tearing his hair out because he's like, oh, these actors are so annoying, like, they're trying too hard, they're kind of, you know, anybody who's, like, sticky to someone like Miyazaki is probably going to repel him, right? And someone goes, well, what about Anno? And they're like, what do you mean? And I was like, yeah, yeah. And they start to like get excited. And it's the only time in the whole thing you see like Miyazaki go like, oh, this could work. Wow. Like you can see him getting giddy. And then like when Anno comes into the studio and does a, like, I don't know, pretty much like a voice test,
yeah, just
or something.
A test read.
A test read. It just,
and Miyazaki's just like, yes.
You got it. He's just like, and then Anno's like kind of fangirling a little bit too. Like just in a small way, like, he was his boss before, right?
Yeah. Anno, his first big break in the industry was working on Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind.
Oh, love cool. Nausicaa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can see his Gundams.
Oh, which probably explains why the Nausicaa live was in the beginning of the second or third movie.
Yeah, the beginning of the third movie. That like, not live
like
action.
The Nausicaa giants just destroyed Tokyo in like 2 seconds.
Mm. And it's really cool. It's great. It's like, it's just like watching Evangelion.
Oh my god. Like, oh, yeah. The name of that documentary is The Kingdom of Dreams and Madness.
Yes.
I think it's on Netflix, I'm not sure. Steve.
What about me?
What do you think about the rebuilds? What did you take from it? And then what are you expecting?
You know, I'm still to this day digesting those things. I don't quite know what to make of them, but I will continue to watch as more are released.
In one word, then.
My one word is what?
Good.
And that's it. That's all I've got. I'm sorry.
Good.
You guys have hashed this out way better than I could.
The only thing I can take from it is that I hope this will be the last iteration of Evangelion, and I hope it'll be the best. I hope it'll culminate everything he's ever made Ava-wise, including, I don't know, like, video games, all the Sega Saturn dating sims, or, you know, this is a gaming podcast, so I have to mention it. The N64 version of Evangelion was great. But I wish this is it. I wish this is, like, the final hurrah for Evangelion, because I don't think I could take any more. I think
you want it to end.
I want it to end.
For me, I'm not actually looking for answers, because I don't think this is a show that one deserves
answers.
Right, that deserves answers. But I think I agree. I think for the show, for the series, for Evangelion as a whole, it should end with the next movie. However that is decided to end, it probably will not end in a way that we can even fathom currently. But I would like to see it go where it needs to go and then stop. In the sense that, you know, if like another movie were just announced or, you know, 2 years down the line, more, you know, past a certain point, you begin pulling a George R.R. Martin and you're just expanding your project. Mm-hmm. And exactly. If you don't head to somewhere with enough momentum behind you, then you're just putting content out for content's sake. And you begin to lag. And then you begin to wonder about, okay, is the creator just off their rocker at that point? Mm. You can really only judge a work when you have the whole work.
Yeah, I need to expand on that too. I'm glad that you said that. I think, above all else, Evangelion is making some kind of artistic statement. I don't know what it is yet. And I'm hoping that with whatever conclusion that is brought, is showed to us, that we'll at least be able to somehow start to understand whatever statement is trying to make. And I don't know what that could possibly be at the moment.
Yeah.
I know what it is.
Let's
please
hear.
Rogan knows. Tell us.
Well,
kids should turn into Tang?
No. Oh. It's simpler than that.
Okay.
It's all about Shinji and what's called the Hedgehog's Dilemma of just human relationships.
Are you afraid to get close to anybody?
Yeah, that's what the story is about.
I'm here for you.
It's about
not too close.
Accepting that being close to other people will result in pain.
Okay.
So he doesn't even get close.
But also pleasure. So, yeah, the Hedgehog's Dilemma is like, you don't want to get too close. And yeah, this is like, this is kind of really vague.
Do you think there's some sort of larger overarching statement that is trying to be made besides the Hedgehog's Dilemma?
I mean, Anno talks about, oh, you know, anime fans, otaku, and like how much he, like, he's making this for them to try and like break them out of their, like, the way they are. They're not like living in the real world.
Uh-huh.
Like, they're too obsessed with these characters, like, how everyone's obsessed with Rei Ayanami, and so that's probably why in the third rebuild he just destroyed her character. Like, he built her up in the second one to be more human, and then the third she's just like nothing again. It's just like, this is like what you're like, he's talking to the fans, is like, this is what you wanted. She's just an empty doll. She's empty.
Okay.
It's so funny how we judge Shinji so much more harshly than we judge someone like Rei. It's like, it's okay for Shinji to be a complete idiot and like annoying, but for Rei it's like, oh, there's nothing there, but let's like promote her to goddess.
Yeah.
It's it's kind of amazing.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Could be because she has cute hair.
That's the hair. It's always the hair.
It's her hair. Shinji doesn't have cool hair.
No.
And that's where...
That's why he sucks.
I would just like him to put out his ending. I just want to see his ending to the story. His definitive
ending. He's got the money. We've seen everything he could do in the rebuilds. We've seen mountains get destroyed. We've seen CG graphics. We've seen 3D graphics. We've seen the landing from Unit 1 to Earth in the beginning of the third one.
Which, by the way, was correct. Scientifically the science correct. Behind that is proven, which is crazy.
So yeah, he has the capacity. And I also appreciate that he kind of throws back to some things in his own life. In the second movie, he used a lot of music from another series he did called Kare Kano. And he used it throughout the whole thing. I was wondering why it did. But I think it's going to culminate and it's going to do it well. And it's going to end, and then we're gonna have to reunite a year later.
Definitely.
Sounds good to me.
So I think we're good.
That was one of the heavier episodes, so thank you for staying with us.
Plugs. Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Join Phil Rea and Dave Powers on the Old School Wrestling Podcast, turnbucklethrowbacks.com. Do you have any plugs you want to give out?
On the spot.
Any honorable mentions? Rogan, this goes for you, too, if you have any sources that you want to just cite.
No.
Okay. Rogan's brain.
I didn't get into anything that needed sources. I mean, there's a lot more to say, but I didn't go there. For the Thumbstick Ninjas, my name is Rob Domingo.
Matthew Smith.
And Steve Landau, and guest speakers.
Ryan Brogan.
And Veronica So.
Signing out. GG, guys.
Good game.